This is Ashley Hodge. I'm joined by Kendall Kaut. We're going to talk all things Baylor basketball. Kendall, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Ashley. You know, I guess at Sikkim 365, we can't go too long without discussing a coaching search. So here we are.
All started by SMU. Thank you, SMU. SMU fires a coach that did pretty well, Rob Lanier. Took him to the NIT. They hire Andy Enfield. Musselman goes from Arkansas to USC. Calipari goes from Kentucky to Arkansas. The Kentucky job comes open. And not only, you know, 2 weeks after Scott Drew rebuts, I guess is the word I'm looking for, the Louisville advances, has a new contract, agreed to terms. It's going to take effect, you know, soon. And then all of a sudden, Kentucky comes calling. And I think he's, you know, seriously considering it. And by tomorrow morning, Scott Drew may have reaffirmed his love for Baylor, or he may be the next coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. And I think this could go either way. So let's talk about the pros and cons of this. Kendall, you know, what's your thoughts? Do you think he does it, or do you think he stays at Baylor?
Right now, and actually, we have a great history of when we do a podcast, news breaks immediately. I remember Jake has got the FAU job. Like 10 minutes after we posted last time.
I'm going to check my text on the,
Cause I keep my phone on silent when we podcast. So I was like, let me check as well. My guess right now, I don't feel confident either way. But I'm operating under the assumption. I think he's gone. I just think if you were going to stay, you've had a long enough window to decide to stay. And to me, this is somebody trying to get to yes, not somebody trying to get to no. And, you know, I always thought the Louisville thing was more far-fetched. I had pretty good intel originally that that wasn't going to happen. If that got closer, which I know you've alluded to on the boards, Ashley, that kind of frames a little bit of this now. There are some other things that I think could frame it too. I don't know what it is for Scott that he has always felt that Kentucky's held in such high esteem. I remember talking to somebody a few years ago being like, is this one of the jobs that you could see him taking? And the person mentioned, well, yeah, it's Kentucky. I could see it. When we list pros and cons, Scott is a great coach. I think there's a chance when you're a great coach like him and you have the resource at Kentucky, you can win anywhere. And I think there's a chance that Scott the last few years might have felt disrespected, that now we're hearing about Danny Hurley's the offensive genius. Well, you know, Scott, Jakus, and company have built such elite offenses. Well, we've heard about, you know, Bill Self, how dominant he was when he won his second national title. Coach K retiring, what he gets. And I think if you're Scott, you might feel like you're not getting the appreciation you want in Waco. But you know, it really is not Jesus, others, yourselves at Kentucky. It's win, win, win. And there are fans that can like that more than they can like other things. But I'm just telling you now, you can talk about God at Kentucky. You can talk about whatever you want. But, you know, I don't really like Clay Travis, but he had a funny joke one time when the Colin Kaepernick thing was going down. And he was like, look, Aaron Rodgers could join Al-Qaeda. And Green Bay Packers fans might say, you know, the West has deviated from the word of God to keep him. And at Kentucky, it's the same deal. If you're winning, they'll love you talking about God. And if you're losing, they're going to say, shut up and win basketball games. Stop praying. What are you talking about? I really don't think this fits Scott culturally. I think he's a great coach. I think he can win. But I just don't think this fan base fits Scott. And that's my concern for him. If he reached out to me, I would tell him that. I don't think he's reaching out to me with all the people he's talking to about what should he do on this front. But I think it would be a mistake for him. I think North Carolina would make sense for him. I think KU would make all the sense in the world if that ever opened up for him. And I know that makes us both kind of queasy.
Yeah.
But I think there is just something about the way the fan base is at Kentucky. And Scott really doesn't like criticisms. And he didn't reach out to me directly, but we might tangent this. I don't know if this will go 20 minutes, Ashley, or we'll go an hour on this.
Yeah.
When I ran ODB, I didn't write the article, but I wrote the article, or I let Dex write his article about, you know, Scott Drew's not going to get it turned around, fire him. And I wrote a rebuttal to it. You all had to write a rebuttal, 24/7 did. It kind of led to news about it. And some of the Baylor staff was not happy about that one article, right? And that's one article at one blog written about the coach.
Yeah.
And I had heard, you know, Scott wasn't real pleased about that. And he never was mean to me. And we always had great interactions after that. But I'm just telling you, if that kind of article really sends you to being upset, it's going to be different. It just is.
Excuse me.
And there was and I've talked for too long, and I'll make one final point, and certainly want to hear a lot that you have to say, Ashley, as well. When Bill Self was considering whether to leave Illinois or go to KU, he mentioned, well, I don't want to follow Roy Williams. And his dad was like, well, if you're too scared to follow Roy, maybe you should stay at Illinois. And Bill went to KU. The difference is Baylor has won a national title under Scott. There is no coach other than one coach in the 80s who had a problem with administration who has left a school they've won a national title at for another job. You have shown you can win national titles at Baylor. I mean, you've landed two possible lottery picks this season. You've got VJ Edgecombe coming in. You have a multi-million dollar NIL budget. And I just really don't think this is the right move for him. And I don't say that just because, you know, I'm an alum. I love covering Baylor basketball. I hope they win and are successful. Because, you know, we've got friends, we've got connections that we believe in that we think would do a great job there. I'm legitimately saying, I don't think this job fits Scott. And I think there's a good chance he's miserable because, you know, he's had great teams. But if you have three first weekend exits in a row in Kentucky, you're gone. I think Kentucky would fire him if he had three seasons in a row like he just has. Where at Baylor, no one in their wildest dreams would have said anything but, please extend the guy. Three seed with elite offenses and a chance if one thing breaks your way, you're going deep. That's just not going to happen at Kentucky. So I don't see the fit here. I think it's a mistake for him. He can, you know, people can dislike what I'm saying right now, but I just don't think the fit is there. Kentucky's a different beast, a different animal. Not saying he's not great, but I'm saying he's not the fit for that program. And it's not joy there. It is yourself, 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 win. And if you're not, we don't want to hear about Jesus or anything else there. So I think the fit's horrible. Ashley, you can disagree with me. You can push back on this, but that's my take.
Yeah, I see. I have a lot of warning signs also. As someone who, you know, knows Scott pretty well and, you know, consider him, you know, a friend. And, you know, I think he's a guy I'm always going to have fond, you know, thoughts about whether he stays or goes. You know, here's my concerns. You know, I think I lived in Kentucky for a year right out of college. It was a great.
Oh, I never knew this.
Yeah, it was a great year. I lived in Louisville. Went to a lot of Del Farmer, who's a Sikkim 365 subscriber, and, you know, has lived in Kentucky all his life. I worked with him and his family businesses, and we had some great times, man. We overdosed on basketball. I mean, we went to tons of basketball games at Louisville, went to tons of UK games. You know, it was a blast. I mean, it is basketball heaven there. But yeah, I mean, it is a religion, and you will be suffocated by the attention. You know, I think it's going to be difficult to have a normal life. Scott's a guy, you know, I think that he loves having a platform and, you know, having influence, but it's going to also come with a lot of, you know, snares and toils for the family. I think, you know, I think it's going to be like, you know, constant scrutiny, you know, constant, every time you go to a restaurant. I mean, you're not going to have any, anonymity at all. I mean, you're going to be under a microscope at all times, and that's exhausting. I have a client that's a former NBA player that, in Texas, he never gets recognized. When he goes back to his hometown, he says every time he was an NBA All-Star for many years. And he says, you know, he goes to dinner. It's like everyone wants a picture and, you know, it's like autographs and, you know, it's a beating. Like, he's like, I love Texas. I love that Texas doesn't care about basketball as much in that regard. You know, you go to the Midwest, you go to places like Kentucky, it's, you know, you can't get any peace. So there's that factor. I also think, you know, one thing that concerns me is you got a lot of NBA players, a lot of people with influence that made Kentucky basketball great. They're going to all of a sudden want, you know, your ear, and they're going to want, and, you know, they're going to want you to do certain things for them. And, you know, it's like, you know, Scott is a guy that will do anything for anybody. You know, he follows that Bible verse. If it's within my power to do good to you, you know, do it, you know, kind of deal. And, but, you know, it's like at Baylor, you can do that without exhausting yourself. At Kentucky, it's going to be 24/7, you know, just, you know, constantly having to cater to people like that. And I remember listening to some podcasts from Calipari from years ago, and, you know, it's always stuck in my mind. Calipari called it, on more than one podcast, he called it the ulcer factory. And I was like, ugh, that sounds like fun. So, I mean, I think, you know, is he going to make more money at Kentucky? Probably, maybe 20% more. Baylor's paying him really well. Top five NIL budget, top five staff budget, you know. Is it worth 20% more money to have 10 times the pressure? I don't think so. I mean, I do think maybe here's some pros for it. The Big 12 is going to be really good next year. You got Houston's returning everybody. Iowa State's returning everybody. Kansas is, you know, already looks like they might have a top five roster. BYU's returning a lot. So, I mean, I could make an argument that you're looking at that going, ugh, you know, maybe it's if he has a 5 to 7 year window, you know, maybe he thinks, okay, I want to try to win one more national championship. Maybe the SEC is a little bit easier. He knows he can beat Texas and OU. Good grief. I mean, he owns the SEC, so it's like he knows he can beat those schools. Maybe he thinks it's a little easier from that standpoint. I mean, that could be an argument for it from a basketball standpoint. But I agree with a lot of what you said. I just think, I don't know, man. It's, you know, be careful what you want, you know. I just think it can be overwhelming, you know, and I've seen it. I live there, and you know, I think Kentucky's beautiful. I mean, it's an incredible state. I mean, it's a beautiful place to live. I did think, you know, one thing I always thought was gambling is a very, like, integral part of the Kentucky culture, you know, obviously with the horse racing, but also in other areas. And, you know, I think there's problems that come with that, social ills, you could say, that are pretty evident when you live there. So that's another comment that's just kind of, you know, just a side note. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I like Kentucky. I like living there for a year, but I like Texas a lot better, just comparing and contrasting the two.
Absolutely. Another thing I want to point out, and we're obviously going to go longer than we guessed, Ashley, yeah, if that's okay. You know, I'm going to have a column about this because I've got my column ideas ready for however this goes, because I figured people this week didn't really care about me breaking down what Jaden Nunn looks like at point guard if we don't know what's going to happen with the roster.
Right.
So I got a lot of columns teed up in my head for what's going to happen. And I don't know if Scott fully appreciates this because he hasn't left yet, but it is going to be massively different when he comes back once he leaves. And you're really gambling on, is that next hire, keep it going? And then you're really gambling on, okay, then where am I kind of seen as the coach? So whether he coaches 5 years or 15 going forward, let's say he wins one title at Kentucky, coaches 10 years. Well, is he going to be seen as the Kentucky coach to a lot of people? No, they'll support him. They'll be happy he's there. But it's not like he's going to go back to Kentucky and be Adolph Rupp, or he's going to go back to Kentucky and really probably even be seen as Rick Pitino to a lot of people, because he sort of lives in that high light to a lot of people after what he's gone through and how he's spoken about how he wished he would have stayed at Kentucky.
I mean, Tubby Smith won a national championship there, and they don't really revere him at Kentucky.
No,
you know?
Not at all. And I mean, Cal was basically forced out, minus right. The buyout didn't exist like that. He would have been fired. And it's just going to be different when he comes back. And I know there are a lot of people that are, Jeff Goodman tweeted out, you know, build him a statue. There are people on our board, and I would generally agree with the sentiment, you know, applaud him, give him an ovation when he comes back. But it's going to be a heck of a lot different. And let's say, you know, 2046 makes me feel really old, but when the 25th anniversary of the championship team comes back, and it's going to be different if Scott spends the last 15 years of his career at Kentucky and comes back, people will cheer him, they'll applaud him, but it's not going to be the same way. He's not going to get, you know, a 5-minute ovation. He's not going to have people come up to him and, you know, really thank him and say, you know, you changed this place, you changed it all. It's not going to be the same.
Right.
And, you know, maybe to him, that's not that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. But I would think that would matter to you, that you were the guy who built it up. You were the guy who came to a place and said, I want to win a national championship here. And you did it. And it's just going to be different. And it's still going to mean something to people. It's still going to matter. But it's not going to be anywhere near the same, right? Roy Williams was great at KU. He leaves, Bill Self, and kind of seen as the modern face of KU. If Scott leaves and the next guy wins for 10 or 15 years, the next generation won't remember Scott. And that can seem mean. It can seem insulting. But in a what have you done for me lately world, and in a world where you also leave, it's just going to be way different. And I think that's something you got to really sit with if you're him, is, gee, you know, I love that in the summer I can get, you know, Quincy AC, Laisterius Dunn, all my guys to come back and play basketball. They're not going to do that in Kentucky, right? They'll bring John Wall in. They'll bring Boogie Cousins in. They'll bring other guys in. And you built a family atmosphere. You've done all these things. I don't know. It seems totally wild to me once you're actually faced with the decision to make it and do it. But, you know, people make different decisions about, I'm ready for a different challenge in life. This is what I need to do. But I, you know, I lean that it's going to happen. I just think he's really making a mistake with this one.
Yeah. I kind of feel like after he sleeps on it tonight, he may decide to stay at Baylor. I mean, in a way, I mean, if he wants to go to Kentucky, I want him to go to Kentucky. I mean, I hope he retires at Baylor, but I mean, I just would hate for him to be like feeling what, you know, what should I have done? You know, like that kind of a deal. Like, but yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, this is all, you know, it's family, you know, it's the culture of joy, and, You know, you bring back these, you know, you've created some legacy here. You bring back these guys in the summertime, and what, are they going to go to Kentucky now? I mean, I was talking with a parent of a former player today, and he's like, what is he doing? You know, this is crazy. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you know, I want my son to come back to Waco. You know, I want that to be home. Like, I mean, there's those decisions that do, you know, it affects everything. I mean, not to be too dramatic, I've said this on several podcasts, but, like, you know, all marriages end in death or divorce. And in the basketball terms, you want it to be retirement, and you want it to be retirement like Jay Wright did, going out on top. You know, you'd hate to fizzle to the end. A lot of coaches do that. You know, you look at Izzo, you look at Boeheim, even Krzyzewski, Tony Bennett. Who else do I need? Calipari. You know, they win a national championship, and then they never can really – you know, get that magic back again. You know, Jay Wright did it the right way. You know, you win, he goes to a Final Four his last year. He has recent national championships. I mean, he'll always be revered at Villanova, you know, unless he goes and takes a job at UConn or something like that, then they'll turn on him in a second. But for the most part, they're always going to love him, you know, because of the way he handled it and went out. And I know Scott kind of has that same vision. You know, he's got maybe a 5 to 7 year window to coach, and then he's done. I hope he's talked to Jay Wright about it, you know, and gotten Jay Wright's feedback on this. I think that would have been a good voice to speak into. You know, why'd you stay at Villanova so long? And, you know, like, why'd you decide to leave when you did? You know, that, you know, I think Jay did it right, but no pun intended. Anyway, I mean, those are my thoughts. And I think the family angle is going to really be hard. I mean, think about this. I mean, I've built a house before, you know, it took like 2 years. It's exhausting. You spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears doing it. This was like 2007. So what's that, 15 years ago? So, you know, and then it's like, you know, once you get into it, you're like, all right, I'm never moving. This was such a pain. It was, you know, way more of a hassle than you ever thought it would be. You know, this is home, you know, that, and you're just like, you know, and then I haven't moved since I've, you know, built the house. You know, Kelly, I know, has spent the last 2 or 3 years of her life, you know, building this dream house in Waco, and it's about ready to be moved into. I just can't imagine that conversation. It's like, I mean, you know, it's only money. Yeah. I mean, Kentucky can buy the house. You can move into an incredible house in Kentucky. No question about it. But I mean, you've put a lot of blood, sweat, and toil into that, and that's a hard thing to walk away from, you know, and it's a hard thing to pull kids out of schools, like, you know, daughter at Baylor, two sons at, you know, private school in Waco, those relationships, all of that stuff. I mean, that's a big deal, you know. So, I mean, he may sleep on it. He's a salesman. Like, if his heart is to go to Kentucky, he may convince him this is best. I mean, we got to get, you know, take this, you know, bite at the apple and see if we can win another national championship, you know, see if I can do it at a historically great basketball school with tremendous fan support. You know, maybe he just wants to see if that's, you know, where he can plant his flag, you know, two national championships at two different schools. But, you know, I would rather see him get re-energized and say, all right, I got 5 to 7 years left. I'm giving Baylor the best 5 to 7 years I possibly can. Family stable. They love Waco. We're going to go all in. You know, we're going to try to do this in a big way. We got the budget. We got the staff. You know, everything's looking good. You know, we've kind of thrown around, you know, the name of the guy that he would hire to take over for Jacus. You know, if he does decide to stay, you know, and I like that. You know, it seems to be like a return to more of the formula of the 2021 team as far as, you know, defensive tenacity and offensive firepower. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Let's talk about possible replacements if he does make the decision to move.
Yep, and I think we're pretty much in agreement that there will be three candidates, and it's going to be one of the three. And I think, at least to me, I think there are two very heavy favorites, and that would be Grant McCasland, would seem to be the odds-on favorite. For those that don't know, Texas Tech head coach, was at Baylor for a long time. Was he at Central Arkansas, Ashley?
Was it Arkansas State? I think it was Arkansas
State. It might have been Arkansas State. Yeah, you're right. He was at Arkansas State for a second. Then he goes to UNT. They beat Purdue in the NCAA tournament. and a pretty big upset given that Purdue had a ton of fans in Indianapolis for that game. I think it was like a 4-13 game in the tournament. And then obviously a Baylor graduate. I think he was a walk-on for Baylor basketball, was on Drew's staff for a long time, which tend to make sense for him as a hire.
When's the NIT championship last year before taking the Texas Tech job at North Texas? Won a national championship in junior college, at Midland Junior College. Had the ACU job for a couple days, then joined the Baylor staff. And then after that, I think he went to Arkansas State and won conference championships there. Went to North Texas, won conference championships there. Went to Texas Tech, was predicted to finish 10th or 12th in the Big 12 last year and finished 4th. And, you know, made the NCAA tournament, had some injuries, had to fight through a lot of adversity, you know, like Cambridge, like one of their better players. They lost him early in the season. So, yeah, I mean, impressive what he did. And the way they beat Baylor and Lubbock, I mean, you know, they just owned Baylor on the glass. And Baylor was a pretty good rebounding team. So, yeah, McCaslin would, I think, you know, be a guy that could win here and win big. And then second, you would have Jakus on at second.
I think that seems to be the vibe that I could imagine Baylor hiring, but he is my number one by far.
Yeah, I think McCaslin probably has a higher floor. Jakus maybe has a higher ceiling. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's risky. You're hiring a guy that hasn't coached at the Division I level, just got hired by Florida Atlantic. But I've made the analogy of Tommy Lloyd. You know, I think he's another Tommy Lloyd. You know, he was at Gonzaga, big part of their success, came to Baylor, took control of the guards, and, you know, did an incredible job. You know, obviously the guards in 2021 were as good as it got. You know, we've had great guard play every year he's been here. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Jakus, I think, would be a home run. I think he has huge upside, fits the culture really well. And if he had stayed, if he hadn't taken the Florida Atlanta job, I think it might be an easy decision because you just make him the interim. And, you know, kind of say, okay, let's see what you can do. You know, we'll reevaluate at the end of the year. You know, he chose Florida Atlantic, so it's a little harder decision. So, yeah, make your case for Jakus.
Sure. I feel very confident John Jakus would take the Baylor head coaching job if offered it. I think he is willing to embrace the mantra Gary Parrish has of you can have one awkward phone call to live out your dream. I think he would also stay at Baylor until he either retired or just, I think this would be his final basketball job. I don't think he's going to wake up in 20 years and want to go to Kentucky. And you can feel like that's an unfair shot, but if we're talking about this, I can make an unfair shot there. I think the case for Jakus is that in 2019, Tristan Clark goes down. Baylor is the second worst 3-point shooting team of any Power 7 school. Only worst 3-point shooting team at that time is Houston, barely in a power conference in the American back then. The staff gets together in a meeting and says, what are we going to do? And Jakus was kind of the spearheader of, we're going to build an offense that shoots more threes. We're going to play small ball with Vital at the five, and we're going to get it done. What happens? Baylor goes on from starting the year losing to Texas Southern. You lose your best player after that, and then somehow they end up winning a game in the NCAA tournament. He innovates the offense. I remember when I was writing a lot of player profiles during the bubble, I talked to a lot of GAs, and it didn't matter if it was Rem Bakamas, now the director of player development at Arizona, if it was Peyton Prudhomme, if it was, you know, Austin Carpenter, who's now at K-State as their director of player development. Not a single person spoke ill ever of Jakus. And when you have real conversations with these people, occasionally they'll take a shot at, oh, you know, I don't like what they're doing, or they're kind of annoying, or they bother me. I have never heard a single negative word from any member of Baylor's administration, from any booster, donor, coach, or player about him. Davion Mitchell said that he was so integral in his development. Jared Butler worked with him all the time because he was a guard. And if you want to say, how do you sell guys to recruit to Baylor? He can easily make the case. I'm the reason why Davion Mitchell developed. I'm why Jared Butler developed. I worked with Keontae George. I worked with Jacoby Walter. And he has something to sell, I think, for recruits. I also think he would retain a lot of the roster because those guys respect him. And I think he could build a staff of a lot of the pieces that have been very good for Baylor recently. I don't think it's a mistake to hire Grant McCaslin. I think he's a good coach and could do very well here. But once you've tasted a national title, you want more national titles. And I think the best path to winning a national title is John Jakus. And I know people are like, well, isn't this Joey McGuire? Not even close. Joey had never been a coordinator in his life. That was the good argument Mac had. And then what did Mac turn around and do? Hire the best coordinator he could find. Now, I know some people will say, well, Aranda is not a rah-rah guy. Isn't he just another acerbic guy who really knows what's going on, but he can't motivate people or be rah-rah?
Jake is
you
as
do not
fiery.
have to,
Jake is as
he can
fiery.
get fiery at times, and I'm telling you, there is a level of intelligence there that is not present with Joey McGuire. He is more personable than Dave Aranda, having talked to both those guys many, many times. He's a lot more personable, and football is just different. You got to get 85 guys in a league run, in a sport run by two leagues, to come to Waco and try and compete. That is a lot different than in basketball, where you need to get three really elite players and then develop guys over time. I also think the advantage to Jake is if you look at how Baylor's built recently, I don't think he's going to just be falling in love with the one and dones. It may be the expense of long-term development.
Right.
I think Jake would accept, you know what, maybe we take a slight step back year one and let Rob Wright have the keys along with Miro Little and Jaden Nunn still in the backcourt. But we know 2 years from now, we look back, they'll write article after article at all the national outlets saying it was Jake's willingness to play Rob Wright as a freshman. That's why Baylor is in the Final Four again this season. And so I think he has that long-term perspective that allows him to be dominant. I think it's just a unique unicorn, and Florida Atlantic's a weird job. Maybe it doesn't work out for him here, but we talk about right fit where I say Scott is not the right fit for Kentucky. I think John Jacobs is the right fit for Baylor if it ends up happening. And so I think that's who Baylor should hire. I'm not disappointed if they hire McCaslin. I think Tang would be a good hire as well. I'm probably even higher on Tang than some people would be, but I don't think it's getting past those three guys. And I think the only mistake they could really make, I wouldn't be upset with McCaslin. I wouldn't be upset with Tang. I wouldn't be upset with Jacobs, is I really don't want to hear like they brought in, you know, the coach from some random school because they feel spurned by Scott Drew. They are good coaches in that tree, coaches that love Baylor, coaches that will stay at Baylor. I think it's one of those three, but Jacobs is my guy, at least, Ashley.
Yeah, you make some arguments. I mean, the only thing negative I would say about Jacobs is I think he's a Chicago Cubs fan, but other than that, I'm kidding. No, he's awesome. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. And to your point, you probably have talked to more people about him specifically, but I'll share this. I won't say the name, but someone who is very prominent in college basketball and even NBA circles, been texting with him quite a bit, and he's high on McCaslin, loves McCaslin. But when I said, you know, who do you think Baylor should hire? He immediately said, John Jacobs, no question about it. Like, he's like, he is a home run hire. So that was an outsider who has no Baylor affiliation. A guy I really respect, you know, one of the, you know, kind of, you know, behind the scenes guys in college basketball, I guess you could say. And then, you know, people on staff have said, you know, Jake, have sung his praises. To your point, you know, I think everybody respects his intelligence, his integrity, his knowledge of the game. He loves basketball. I'd say the same thing about McCaslin too. I mean, he is well respected. You can't go wrong with either of those guys. And I love Tang, you know, Tang, is great as well. I don't know. I don't know if Baylor, you know, that may be a tougher one to pull because I know they've renegotiated that contract a few times. And so, you know, I think that maybe McCaslin and Jacobs make more sense from just an easy ease to pull. But we'll see. And, you know, even like guys like Paul Mills, I mean, you have some others that will probably get some attention. But I agree with your assessment. You know, I think Jacobs would be fantastic. I think McCaslin would be fantastic. So there's some good options there. Well, hopefully we'll look at this podcast and laugh at it. You know, we'll say, oh, Scott Drew's, you know, staying at Baylor another 5 to 7 years. We can talk about his successor, you know, down the road. But he's got a decision to make. It's going to be a tough one. You know, I think seems like he's got the itch to do something different. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to do it. You have to go and take some risk. And, you know, more power to him if he decides to do it. But, you know, I think Baylor's in great hands. Thanks to him, you know, he got this program in a terrific position. We got the facilities. We got, you know, the commitment to excellence. So I think that if he does leave, it's not the end of the world. You know, a lot of Baylor fans that don't know what's going on behind the scenes will probably think it is. But, you know, this is a great position. But it is tough to follow legend. And like you said, you know, this is what Scott Drew built, and, you know, there's going to be big expectations that come with that, and it's not always an easy thing to do. But the names we've mentioned, I think, would do a really good job of keeping the excellence going.
I think so, too. I hope we get a decision tomorrow. I thought we were going to get one tonight. I worry the longer it goes on, more likely it is he leaves. But you got a good point that maybe that leads to solidifying some of the people around him that might matter for this decision. My final comment would be, you know, people are all over the place on Mac. I think he made a great hire in Matt Rhule. I think pushing out Kim Mulkey should never be held against him for what's happened. But I think if you're him too, and you're thinking about a big decision like this, it's not just about, do you win the headline saying we poached a sitting head coach? It's about, are you building the sustainable program where you can win national championships? And the best thing for an AD, I think, would be the national championship coach left Baylor, the anomaly of anomalies when you look at the list of schools that have won national titles. And then you hired the guy that went and won two national titles. And I think that's what you think about is, I don't need to win today. I want to win going forward. And that's why I think it is Jacus. If it comes to it, it, you know, may not, but I do hope he gets serious consideration at least. And it's not just a, you know, next hour we've hired our guy.
Oh yeah. No, I think the list is already put together. I think Mac has his targets and, you know, I think we'll probably, he'll secure a coach pretty quickly. I think that, you know, with the Louisville situation, I think they were already, you know, making those contacts and, you know, doing some back channel talks to make sure they had, you know, the list of people that they would want to interview. But a lot's changed since then. You know, things move fast in the college basketball world, as we've seen. And you got to get busy, man. You got to get busy building your roster because time's a-wasting. You know, I know Scott turns down the Kentucky job. He's got some work to do. But if he decides to go, then whoever the new coach is, we probably need to name him, you know, by early next week so that we can, you know, start hitting the portal hard and rebuilding this roster. Exciting times. Never a dull moment. Baylor Sports. Hey, Kendall, thank you for doing this. You've been listening to a Sikkim 365 podcast with Ashley Hodge and Kendall Kaut, Sikkim Bears.
Great. And, Ashley, are we done recording now?